Good morning, and peace be with you. Today we observe All Saints Day, and in a few minutes I have some helpers going to come, and we will go through the first part of the service in remembrance of those that have gone home to be with the Lord this last year. But before that, I have some announcements, and the one announcement is that all the things that you need to know are in the bulletin. So I'll let you go through that rather than have me drone on and on that. But I would also like to say thank you very much for the kindness, the notes, and the gifts that I received last week for a completely made-up holiday called Pastor's Appreciation Month and Day and all that, and I really do thank you. The cards and the notes that you wrote touched my heart, and I am grateful for that. I want to let you know it is my great pleasure to be your pastor, and we're getting close to 10 years since my ordination. Over 10 years from the first Sunday that I preached here in 2015. And I am blessed, I am grateful, and I'm here for as little or as long as you want me here. And I'm just grateful. Thank you for that. You are so very generous to us. I want to remind you that this next week we have some special food being provided for us, and it's a special anonymous giver that every year she provides a feast for us. And so make sure you come next Sunday and enjoy just a beautiful bounty of sandwiches and this the best chicken noodle soup and all that. We will get together and fellowship next Sunday. Today, as always on the first of the month, is Roger and Debbie's day, and so we know that's always wonderful. But that's another thing. You know, the completely made up day of Pastor's Appreciation. You know, every day is a day that I appreciate being your pastor, and every day is a day of celebration. And one of the things that aren't celebrated, and it's my fault, is recognizing all the people that do so much for this church to make this service happen. All of the volunteers that give of their time, not just on Sunday, but out throughout the week to prepare the service and the campus to do and perform what we do and to have the fellowship and the family that we do. So right now, I just want to thank all of you that give so much time and talent. Talent meaning, I include that money because it ain't cheap. And I thank you all for all that you do. And I don't say it enough, but I'm saying to you right now. So let's give you all a round of applause, you know. Thank you. Round of applause. Without further ado, in your bulletin on the front page is a brief order of the service for our All Saints celebration. So I guess what we'll do is we'll hear the opening hymn and then we'll go into the celebration of the saints. We're delighted to have Diane back with us, and our opening hymn is hymn number 174, "For All the Saints Who From Their Labors Rest." Let us sing as unto the Lord. please stand if you're able? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Today, we remember members of this congregation along with Christian friends and relatives whom our Heavenly Father has called out of this life during the past year. We remember them, and we thank God for the gifts that he has given us through them. We remember Carol Keene. Ken Baden, Marvin Bucky Jr., Marge and Bill Getz, Margie Plum, Edward German, Anthony Cisneros, Knud Keeler, Manny Dickner, Andrew Robert Hall, Curtis Lee, and Linda Reef-Snyder. God our Father, throughout the history of the church, you have stood by all your saints. Stay with us this day and every day for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, risen, and ascended, living and reigning with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as you're called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys that you have prepared for those who love you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Blessed All Saints Day to all of those who have gone before us. The reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. This can be found on page 1060 in the Pew Bible. God, through his prophet Isaiah, rebukes the people of Jerusalem for the disingenuous offerings and tells them instead to do what is helpful to their fellow people. Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? Says the Lord. I have more than enough burnt offerings. Of rams and the fat of fattened animals, I have no pleasure in the blood of the bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is a detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feast and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do what is right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Through your sins are like the scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are red as crimson, and they shall be like wool. We'll read Psalm 130 responsively. It's printed on page 6 of the bulletin. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive, and I cry for mercy.
If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you.
I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope.
I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning.
Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption.
He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
The next reading is taken from the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. This can be found on page 1842 in the Pew Bible. It exhorts believers to living a life that honors the glory of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 through 12. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters. And rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the prosecutions and trials that you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who troubles you and give relief to you who are troubled. And to this, us as well, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire and powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people, he will be marveled at among those who have believed, and includes you because you believed our testimony in you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring you to fruition. Your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so this name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to this grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke from the 19th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and can be found on page 1630 in your pew Bible. Luke records, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this, and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here, I now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So, the story of Zacchaeus is a very famous and familiar story in the Bible. And many of us may remember it from a Sunday school lesson and from a children's song that you may have learned. Did anyone learn that little? Yeah, okay, good. I didn't. I'd heard of it, but I never actually heard it. So I don't know the tune. So forgive me on that one. But you know it, and it goes like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." So, besides its appeal to children, who I think they like it because it's about a guy who's probably about their height, and besides being a cute story for kids, it also has a very serious side as well. You know, it's an illustration of sin, and it's an illustration of repentance, and it's an illustration of salvation. It's an illustration about Jesus, who says of himself, in the very important and profound verse that concludes this text, which you heard me emphasize, and which many consider to be the theme verse for the entire Gospel of Luke. It's Luke 19, verses 9 and 10. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, with all the riches of the gospel that are selected for today and every day of the three-year lectionary, you might think that you had heard at least one sermon about Zacchaeus somewhere along the line of the time that you've been coming to church. Or maybe, you know, the last 10 years that I've been here. But I checked my files, and I couldn't find that I have ever once preached on Zacchaeus. I found some notes. I thought about it. But I couldn't find a sermon where I preached Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And it's not that it doesn't appear in the church's lectionary, because it does. And on this Sunday, during the third year of the three-year cycle of readings, it's here. And so I find that the reason I've not preached about this wee little man is because, well, we observe a couple of very special days during the last 2 weeks, these last 2 weeks, the end of October and the beginning of November. You see, in a three-year lectionary series of readings that cover all of the Sundays and major festivals of the year, there are probably close to a couple of hundred of texts of just the gospel readings. But this particular reading about Zacchaeus is one, and perhaps the only one, that you never hear preached on. Why? Well, because the Sunday for which Luke 19, 1 through 10 is assigned is a Sunday that falls between the period of October 30th and November 5th. And what do we always do? Always do As Reformation Lutheran Church and as a Lutheran church, what do we do from October 30th through November 5th? Well, if it's the last Sunday in October, we always celebrate Reformation Day. And there's a special gospel that's assigned to that. And if it's the first Sunday in November, we always celebrate All Saints Day, and there is a special gospel assigned for that. And those festivals have different readings. So every time Zacchaeus has his turn in the lectionary, he always gets bumped. And, well, that, my friends, is why, this is the reason that you've not heard this pastor preach on Zacchaeus, except for today. Okay, so just to review the basic facts of the story, Jesus, we read, is on his way to Jerusalem, and as he passes through the town of Jericho, by this time, Jesus is quite well known, and he attracts big crowds wherever he goes. Think about some of the things that he has done up to this point. He has raised Lazarus, and he has healed blind Bartimaeus. Now, that particular incident caught my heart this year. And one of the things that I saw in it is that Jesus is walking along the way, and this blind man who's on the side of the road is shouting out. And the peoples that were going before Jesus stopped him. The peoples that were going before Jesus were his disciples. These are the people that should have known better than to say what they said, but they did it anyway. They said, "Shut up. He doesn't have time for you. This is Jesus. You're not part of the in crowd." But we read further that Jesus did stop. And he asked his disciples, "What does he want?" And they said, "Oh, he's just this blind guy and he's calling out to you." But he didn't just call out to Jesus, say, "Hey, Jesus." He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, Son of David isn't just like a nice little thing. Son of David says that this blind man, who probably never heard a sermon, but had heard about this Jesus, called Jesus by his title, Messiah, Son of David. And so what does Jesus do? He goes, "Bring him to me." Now, can you imagine the ones that went before him, the disciples who should have known better? They're going, "Oh, we just told them to shut up." And he brings them there. They bring him in, and Bartimaeus doesn't just kind of quietly get up. He throws off his cloak, and he rushes quickly to Jesus. And Jesus says, "What do you want?" And this is such a beautiful pattern for prayer, for my prayer and your prayer. He didn't go through a long litany of things. He was short. He said, "Lord, I want to see." Jesus didn't touch him. He didn't spit in the ground, make mud, tell him to go wash off in a fountain. He said, "You are healed." And he was right there. And he followed Jesus. There is a story of redemption. There is a story of Jesus seeking the lost and finding them. So that's why it resonated with me today to talk about this Zacchaeus. So we know that he's vertically challenged. There's a crowd of people, kind of like must have looked like what we would have a parade today. And if you want to catch a glimpse of this celebrity, it helps to be tall. You can look at the people's backs of their heads and you see things more easily if you're a tall guy. But the reality of all who are vertically challenged, all you can see is the backs of people. And that's not quite a view. And as you all know, this little guy, Zacchaeus, well, he was suffering from a stature of limitations. Thank you. For those who didn't laugh, you'll get it on the way home. A stature of limitation. I got more. And he wants to see Jesus from the ground level. But this would made a very short story indeed. So this clever little guy, he comes up with a solution and he climbs up the aforementioned sycamore tree to get a better look. And he does this. But being perched up there also gives Jesus a better look of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, Jesus says, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Now, for my brothers in Christ who are from the New York area, and especially that guy sitting in the back, I offer this translation. Jesus is saying, yo, Zacchaeus, yeah, come on down, let's talk. We're going to take a walk, and I'm going to be at your house today. My friend back there, I love very, very much. Today I said, peace be with you. He goes, oh yeah, and also with you. Sometimes it should be fun. I think it should be fun all the time. So here's the thing. Jesus basically invites himself over. And Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus. Well, buddy, you got your wish. Anyone see a problem with this? Well, there were people that were watching this drama unfold. They had a big problem. Remember the disciples that went before? You know, you're not in our crowd. You're not part. We're going to Jerusalem. We're the Jesus group. You just be blind somewhere else. Or last week we had a tax collector and a Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee said, thank you, Lord, for not making me like that guy over there. And which one left justified? Well, just like today, people were murmuring. They're going, oh, you believe this guy? And the people observing this and interaction sure saw the problem with this. They were thinking, this fellow Zacchaeus, Jesus, you don't really know much about him. You know his name, but are you sure you know enough about him? His background, his occupation, his reputation? They'd be saying, you know, you're supposed to be a pretty pious, proper, religious teacher. You know, Jesus, this Zacchaeus, are you sure that you know what you're doing going into his house? And when they saw it, they all grumbled and they said, he has gone into the guest of a man who is a sinner. Here's the problem. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And I know that none of us here, probably all of us, but there may be one, but that enjoy paying taxes. And the tax collector generally isn't a real popular fellow. But in those days, in that culture, the tax collectors had a most unsavory reputation. For one thing, they were working, as we talked about last week, for the enemy. The enemy was the hated Roman Empire. They were the occupying force. But beyond that, the tax collectors had a fairly well-deserved reputation for being dishonest, for overcharging, for skimming off the top to line their own pockets. So, besides being looked down upon, literally in Zacchaeus' case, but also they were looked down upon for being a crook, for being a tax collector, for being a notorious sinner, a Jew that is working for the enemy. And a good religious teacher like Jesus, well, he ought not hang out with a guy like that. But he does. You see, Jesus likes to hang out with sinners. It's his opportunity to call them back home to God, to call them to repentance and faith in him, the Savior of sinners. So Jesus invites himself over, and he must go to Zacchaeus' house today, now. And Zacchaeus, we read, he receives him joyfully. Our text says Jesus is happy to see, Zacchaeus is happy to see Jesus up close and personal, not just from up in a tree. And what causes this joy for Zacchaeus? Why does he receive Jesus so joyfully? It's evident that it's because Jesus comes bringing forgiveness into his house. And that's what Zacchaeus needs, forgiveness. That's what we all need. Really, only sometimes the truth is that people don't fully realize or even at all realize that they are in need of forgiveness. But thank God Zacchaeus does. Zacchaeus apparently had been a typical tax collector of that time. He was ripping people off. He was making himself rich by cheating people. But now he says something astounding. He says, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Christ coming to him has caused a big change in a little man. This is repentance that we are witnessing happening here. Zacchaeus has come to grips with his sins. He's acknowledged them and he is turning away from them. Jesus has that effect on people. And even though repentance is in this case may end up costing Zacchaeus a boatload of money, he's glad. He's glad to part with it, any ill-gotten gain, and also to repurpose his wealth to help the poor. What Zacchaeus is receiving from Jesus, he realizes, and you and I know, is worth far more than all the money in the world. And Jesus is giving it to him free of charge. Forgiveness, salvation are tax-free. And that's priceless. The joy of Zacchaeus is the joy of repentance. It's the joy of finding forgiveness in Christ for all of your sins. It's the joy of finally being found when you have been lost, lost in your own messed up life of sin. Zacchaeus realized his need for forgiveness. And you do too, right? You know that line from the song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man," right? Wee! As in, well, I just said it. Should I do it again? I won't. But today, let's rephrase it. And let's make it Zacchaeus was a we, you and me, as in we. For Zacchaeus was a lot like we are, you and me. He was a sinner. He was weighed down with a load of guilt, just like we are. Zacchaeus was a little man who did the little things, the shady things, to work his own advantage, just like we do. Maybe fudging on the figures or well, I'll just leave that just a little bit. I'm sure that in the ledger book of sins, you might think that God could find sins that we do that are in the same bracket as those of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee, you and I, little man in more ways than one. But Zacchaeus also was a sinner. He was a sinner that Jesus died for, just like we are. Remember, Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And very shortly, he will be there. In order to do what? Well, Jesus is going to pay off the big debt that we all owe. Jesus is the great sin collector, the sin collector of all time. He takes up all our sins and he carries them to the cross and he pays them off with his holy precious blood. All of Jesus' goods, his righteousness, his forgiveness, his life, his salvation, behold, the whole of his goods, not half of them, but all of them, he gives to the poor, miserable sinners like you, like me, and like Zacchaeus. And now our tax bill, it reads, debt paid in full. The date? Well, Good Friday. Signed, Jesus of Nazareth. Our Lord told Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation comes where Jesus goes. And now, today, this day, Jesus has come to this house. This house that is full of sinners, right here. Salvation is here because our Savior is here. And like Zacchaeus, we receive him joyfully. The joy of Zacchaeus is our joy as well. For Zacchaeus truly was a wee, like you and me, little man, with a great big Savior. My dear friends, my brothers and sisters, and all who may come upon this podcast, hear this. No matter how tall, no matter how short you are, no matter how rich or how poor, whether you're up in a tree or out on a limb, if you know that you'd be lost without him, then Jesus is looking for you today. And that's because for the Son of Man, came to seek and to save the lost. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you please stand if you're able? Let us now confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 4 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord and God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather this morning to praise your holy name. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together safely this morning. You already know our prayers without us speaking a word. Many of them are printed in our bulletin this morning. You hear our constant groans as your Holy Spirit lives within us, and who translates our thoughts into prayers worthy of your listening. Even so, we're compelled to speak aloud. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us with our nation. We pray that you would guide us through the dark times in which we find ourselves. We pray for hope rather than despair. Thank you for your divine intervention through the work of your servant, Charlie Kirk, and the Turning Point USA organization. We give you thanks for the hope displayed by this younger generation, that their boldness in proclaiming their Christian faith peacefully, even in the face of evil. Thank you, Holy Father. Father, we give you thanks and praise for causing the truth, the only truth in the universe, to be written down in Holy Scripture for us to hear your word whenever we read it or hear it spoken. Thank you that your scripture is timeless and living, so as to guide us, comfort us, and sometimes rebuke us for our own good, no matter how old or young we are throughout our lives. Holy Father, we know Psalm 23 that says that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. But Lord, because of our sin, we do fear. We pray to your Holy Spirit to flood our hearts and minds with the knowledge and assurance of your omnipotence, promises, and saving grace to displace any doubts or fears that we may have. God Almighty, Holy Father, this weekend we grieve the loss of our loved ones on earth over the past year, but celebrate their arrival in heaven to be with you and all the other saints who have come to you before them. It's a confusing time for us as we feel a terrible loss in our daily lives, feeling the separation of loved ones and recognizing our own mortality. We know that the number of our days on earth are only known by you and were determined before we were born. This truth and your promise of eternal life with Jesus provides comfort, knowing that we too will someday be called home and be reunited with our loved ones and be face to face in your presence. Holy Spirit, thank you for our faith in our Savior Jesus. We also pray for your mercy upon those who may have died without knowing Jesus as their Savior. We pray that they would have seen your light in their last moments on earth. Lord, we pray for those suffering from serious physical or mental ailments within our church family, our friends, and our loved ones. We ask that your holy peace that exceeds our understanding will fill their hearts and minds, displacing any doubts they may have about your saving grace. We also ask you to grant strength, wisdom, and peace to those who minister to the needs of those who are suffering, and bring rapid healing on earth where it is your will. Holy Father, thank you for the children in our lives. Thank you for trusting us to provide a safe environment for them and to teach them your ways rather than our sinful ways. Thank you for keeping them safe during Halloween celebrations this weekend and at all other times during their young lives. We pray for the safety of all of our military members, law enforcement officers, and first responders. Please shield them from all harm as they serve to protect others. We pray for all those who are now suffering from the effects of our government shutdown. Please soften the hearts of those government leaders who are slaves to personal greed and enable them to recognize the damage they are doing to innocent people. We give thanks to you for our Pastor Ken, who constantly reminds us of your laws for peaceful lives, and especially for your saving grace when we constantly fail to follow them. Finally, we now share with you our personal prayers kept deep in our hearts or spoken aloud. Into your hands, Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share the peace. Will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In the blessedness of your saints, you have given us a glorious pledge of hope of our calling, that moved by their witness and supported by their fellowship, that we may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name, Lord, and join their unending hymn. night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, all of you. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus paid it all. To him we owe all. I like that the phrase, he's the great sin collector. He took it all and nailed it to the cross for you and for me, that we may be called children of God, given that power by what he did, his work perfectly worked on that cross for you and for me and for Zacchaeus and for all the outsiders, all the people that seem to be outside and undeserving of grace. He paid it all for them too. Now, if this is your confession, and I heard you confess him as Lord and Savior, then come. The table is prepared. The usher will bring you forward.
was love that held him on that tree. Love for you and for me and for people like Zacchaeus and anyone else that should give their lives over to Christ. May this comfort you. May this keep you in his peace and his joy. Amen. You say amen? Amen! Yay! Thanks, good girl.
And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our sending song is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hymn number 165.
Let us go in peace and serve.